Welcome to today's reading of the San Angelo Standard Times, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org. Hello, this is Michael, reading from the San Angelo Standard Times for the week beginning Sunday, May 24th, 2020. I'm reading on Thursday, May 28th, and we'll begin with the most recent articles and then work our way back earlier into the week. Indictment. San Angelo bank teller discovers forged check from car dealership, by Elena Edgen. A 26-year-old San Angelo woman has been indicted after a bank teller called a car dealership about a suspicious check, according to court documents. On February 7, 2020, a woman attempted to cash a check at a First Financial Bank location for $795 from Mitchell Buick GMC. The bank teller, familiar with checks from the dealership, called the company to verify the check's authenticity. The woman told officials she received the check in the mail. She left before police arrived, leaving her identification behind, records state. Officers said they noticed several indicators of a forgery and matched the woman's signature from her identification and the endorsement on the check, according to the arrest affidavit. On February 27th, Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies arrested Juliana Antu, 26, on suspicion of forgery of a financial instrument, including several warrants. She was released from Tom Green County Jail on April 27th, according to online jail records. An indictment filed May 12th charged Antu with forgery of a financial instrument, a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively set for 2 p.m. July 7th in the 340th District Court, according to online jail records. YMCA recovers from San Angelo hailstorm, by Colin Murphy. Staff at the YMCA in San Angelo are still assessing the extent of damage caused by last week's hailstorm, which punched multiple holes in the facility's roof, causing extensive damage. The storm produced some of the largest hail seen in the area in nearly 25 years and resulted in damaged windows and shattered windshields to cars across the city. San Angelo YMCA Facility Director Jordan Reynolds said the cost of the damage is still being estimated. Our roof is 15 years old and is PVC-based, which gets brittle over time, so it was perfect conditions for hail to just destroy the whole roof, Reynolds said. Every foot, there's a hole. The entire roof is a total loss. For 3 days, we had continuous flooding and leaking. We lost a large amount of ceiling tiles and light fixtures. We had some electrical issues. Reynolds said despite the damage, the facility was back up and running at the same capacity as before with coronavirus guidelines. He said the total cost of repairs was still to be determined. Now that everything has been gutted and cleaned, we are back to being operational per Governor Abbott's Phase 1 and Phase 2 restrictions, Reynolds said. It's too early for us to tell an exact number or even an estimate. It is going to be a significant cost. At this time, we just aren't sure. It will look like it's under construction, but we are open. May 28th, COVID-19 update. No new cases for Tom Green County. Tests given passes 3,000 mark, from staff reports. No new cases of the coronavirus were reported by the city Thursday, as the number of tests administered passed the 3,000 mark for Tom Green County. The news comes a day after a Tom Green County jail employee tested positive for COVID-19. The employee has been quarantined. Three inmates were also placed in isolation and quarantined, the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office announced Wednesday. During the 24 hours between 2 p.m. Wednesday and Thursday, 39 tests were administered in the county, according to city data. Here is a breakdown of cases since testing began in late February for the county. 3,009 total tests, 93 positive tests, 81 tests pending results, 2,835 negative tests. The city reported there are 6 cases that remain active, meaning the patients are continuing to be monitored by health officials. Exposure to a person ill with the coronavirus remains the most common form of transmission in the county, with 50 patients having a close connection to someone who tested positive, city statistics indicate. 9 local cases are linked to the person traveling to an area where the disease is so prevalent, contracting it would be likely, and 21 cases are classified as community spread, meaning the source of the disease is unknown. A total of 67 Tom Green County residents have tested positive for the disease. 63 were tested inside the county. The other 4 were tested elsewhere, but listed their residence as being in Tom Green County, city reports state. The county has 1 fatality attributed to the coronavirus, a man in his 70s with underlying conditions who died at Shannon Medical Center in early April. Railway Museum of San Angelo reopening to public during Downtown Strong campaign by Rosanna Aguilera. The Railway Museum of San Angelo is reopening to the public during the Downtown Strong campaign. In support of Saturday's Downtown Strong campaign, local car clubs are invited to use the parking lot of the museum on a first-come, first-served basis, according to a news release. Downtown San Angelo Incorporated is partnering with members of the community, including downtown businesses, restaurants, car clubs, musical acts, local organizations, and more, to bring downtown back to life from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday. The museum will reopen from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday, May 30th. Admission to tour the museum is $5 for adults and $3 for children. All visitors are asked to be safe and encourage, but do not require, attendees to wear a face mask and to follow social distancing protocols, according to the release. Visit sanangelorailway.org for activities, educational information, and virtual tours of the museum. Inquiries may be made by emailing info.railwaymuseum@gmail.com. San Angelo's Storm of 1995, still a powerful reminder to keep an eye on West Texas weather, by Bob Bluthart, special to the Standard Times. Spring in Texas brings warmer temperatures, wildflowers, and storms, sometimes severe, with heavy winds, hail, destruction, and, unfortunately, injuries and fatalities. 25 years ago, on May 28, 1995, one of the largest storms since the Lakeview tornado of 1953 struck the city and Fort Concho. Fortunately, no one was killed in the 95 storm, but it did cut a wide path of destruction across the middle portions of the city. To this day, there is some disagreement over just what hit us on that humid 1995 day. The National Weather Service never declared the storm an official tornado, preferring to classify it as a powerful case of straight-line winds. Call it what you will, roofs flew off at the fort, rain entered structures, and hail pounded things, and in our case, mules. I was working the visitor desk 25 years ago on May 28th when our greeting area was located in the headquarters building at the east end of the fort's parade ground. By mid-afternoon, the skies started to darken, and the black clouds to the northwest began to have a tinge of green. That was enough for me. I sent our other 2 staff members home, and I quickly locked the buildings and headed out. Unfortunately, I got caught in the initial hailstorm as I made the curve on Washington Drive near the draw. If you are old enough to recall what coal sounds like when it cascades down a chute into a basement, that was the deafening roar I heard as I pulled over and hid in a driveway. The massive amount of hail dropped temperatures in seconds and created an eerie fog that reduced visibility to just a few feet. With trees and power poles scattered on streets, it took me almost an hour to reach my house on North Oxford, where my wife Valerie and I lived at the time. The storm had not hit that part of town very hard, and we later learned it didn't strike our soon-to-be new home on Cedar Ridge either. But it did some serious damage in the Santa Rita, downtown, and Southside areas. While assessing our situation, I got a call from a staff member who received a report on fort damage from a volunteer who in turn had heard a police report on the scanner. Before computers and cell phones, this was about as fast as news traveled then. So I drove back to the fort and was greeted with 40 acres of devastation, fractured trees, pools of standing water, and piles of steaming hail on the parade ground. A few roof sections ripped off, dozens of windows smashed beyond repair, and one tree branch hurled javelin-like through the upper wall of Officers' Quarters 8. And the poor mules were standing close together, obviously in shock with their tin and wood frame barn, shredded and wrapped around several nearby utility poles. The winds had blown sand, pebbles, and other matter at them like artillery shrapnel as they had small cuts all over their bodies. I found my boss, Fort Director John Vaughn, and we briefly discussed our initial actions when a fort supporter ran up, almost in tears, and said, "John, is there anything I can do?" In his typical deadpan style, John responded, "Where would you begin?" Of course, we took care of the mules, secured all open windows, covered as many roof surfaces as we could, and moved damaged artifacts and materials to whatever drier and safer areas we could find. Unfortunately, the storm had ripped off a large chunk of the roof at Officers' Quarters 7, where we house our library and archives. Work continued the next day, and despite being Memorial Day and a city holiday, most fort staff reported for duty. Back then, we held Frontier Day on the third Saturday in June, and we successfully hosted that event just 3 weeks after the storm. History shows this wasn't the first such storm to strike the fort. Indeed, in the post's historic era, they sometimes called these events cyclones, and the post surgeon noted in his monthly report that a May 24, 1887 cyclone struck the post from the southwest at 4:30 o'clock p.m., lasting half an hour. Heavy rainfall, slight hail, and violent electrical disturbance with a force of wind estimated at from 40 to 50 miles per hour. Damage to post slight. Considerable in the town of San Angelo. Dr. Gandy was right as winds destroyed the cupola on the courthouse while severely damaging many churches and businesses, but sparing most of the saloons on Concho Avenue. The San Angelo Standard theorized that it was amazing the community hadn't suffered earlier storms, situated as our town is with nothing to act as a barrier to the storms and high winds so prevalent in a prairie country. In both 1887 and 1995 storms, there were no fatalities, but other storms were more deadly. The surgeon's report on May 1870 noted the tragedy of Major Merriam and his family traveling about 50 miles west of Fort Concho. Immediately succeeding a severe hailstorm, the river rose so rapidly as to sweep away the whole party with their carriage, teams, etc. The major barely survived, being swept a half mile downstream, but his wife, child, nurse, and three soldiers were drowned. Other newspaper stories and military reports cite hailstorms, sometimes of extraordinary violence, that could kill mule teams. As the fort's post surgeon was the official weather observer and reporter, he would note hailstorms of several inches in diameter on several occasions. And as I watched the fort's many roofs being replaced, the last time they were fully replaced was after that 1995 storm, I am not looking for history to repeat itself, but I do watch the sky every day from March through June. Editor's note, just 2 days after this column was submitted by Fort Concho manager Bob Luthart, a significant hailstorm hit San Angelo on Thursday, May 21st, 2020, which has been described by one meteorologist as the biggest hailstorm the city has seen since the 95 storm. Luthart said about a dozen windows were broken at the fort, as were some skylights, and there was some damage to fences. One building also suffered some water damage due to the numerous holes being punched in its Duralast roof. Luthart said all of the recently installed roofs have withstood the storm without damage. Nobody was hurt, the mules are fine, and the building survived, Luthart said. We're in the middle of a fix-up campaign anyway, so we'll just add it to the list and keep moving ahead. Bob Luthart is the Fort Concho manager for the city of San Angelo. Contact him at 325-481-2730 or email robert.bluthart@cosatx.us. Tom Green County Jail employee tests positive for coronavirus. Three inmates quarantined, by Elena Edgen. A Tom Green County Jail employee has tested positive for the coronavirus, prompting three inmates to be quarantined, according to a news release from the Tom Green County Sheriff's Office. On Wednesday, May 27th, a jail employee received a positive test of the coronavirus and was placed in quarantine. The jail reports that exposure was limited within the jail and sheriff's office, according to the release. Three inmates at the jail have been isolated and quarantined, according to the release. Dr. James Vretis, public health authority and medical director for the San Angelo Tom Green County Health Department, has ordered testing for the inmates. San Angelo Area Foundation awards $225,000 in competitive spring grants, by John Tufts. The San Angelo Area Foundation, SAAF, awarded more than $225,000 to several causes and local organizations as part of their Spring 2020 Competitive Grant Program, according to a news release. We are grateful for those who enable us to respond to changing community needs, support innovative solutions to community challenges, and enhance the quality of community life in the Concho Valley, said Matt Lewis, president and CEO of the foundation. On Wednesday, May 27th, officials said generous donors who entrusted SAAF to manage advised funds, discretionary and field of interest funds, as well as unrestricted funds given to the foundation, made the following grants possible. Baptist Memorials Ministries, $20,000 to help with facility improvements to ensure safety of residents. Boys and Girls Club of San Angelo, $20,000 in support of STEM learning for area youth for after-school and summer programs. Catholic Outreach Services of San Angelo, $20,000 to assist with facility improvements to help expand services to support persons in need. Civil Air Patrol San Angelo Composite Squadron, $20,000, to help develop a design facility for classroom space and storage at Mathis Field. Downtown San Angelo, $20,000, to assist with downtown streetscape update with historic street lighting. East Concho Volunteer Fire Department, $2,005, to help update radio equipment. Junior League of San Angelo, $5,000, in support of JLSA Student Closet Program serving at-risk youth. Ozona Community Center, $8,750 to help with kitchen improvements to child care facility. Sterling County Senior Citizens Center, $10,000 in support of facility renovations to maintain safety of facility for seniors served. Sutton County Food Pantry and Resource Center, $10,000 to help with roof repairs and replacement of HVAC system. Sutton County Health Foundation, $30,000 in support of a chest compression system. United Way of the Concho Valley, $10,000 to assist with technology upgrades. West Texas Counseling and Guidance, $100,000 in support of expansion and renovation of facilities and services. COVID-19 Community Response Fund raises more than $100,000 for San Angelo charities. As of Wednesday afternoon, additional grants have been awarded to up to 24 charitable organizations, totaling $141,875 as part of the COVID-19 Community Response Fund, according to a news release. The fund was created to provide grants to area charitable organizations that are working with individuals, families, and community most affected by this pandemic, according to the release. The SAAF Board of Directors authorized a challenge grant of up to $200,000 in matching donations dollar for dollar and plans to continue matching donations until the $200,000 challenge has been met, according to the release. San Angelo Gives raised $2.6 million for charities. On May 5th, the San Angelo Area Foundation hosted its sixth San Angelo Gives, in which community donors raised $2.6 million for local charities and organizations, according to the release. The generosity displayed during San Angelo Gives is a true testament to our community and proves that even during the most difficult times, our community stands strong together, said Lewis. The San Angelo Area Foundation is a community foundation with assets over $150 million and has granted over $100 million to area causes since it was established in 2002. It manages over 360 charitable funds benefiting a multitude of causes throughout the Concho Valley, according to a news release. For more information about SAAF, call 325-947-7071 or visit www.saafound.org. Downtown San Angelo has live music, food, and a car show planned for Saturday, May 30th by Rosanna Aguilera. The San Angelo Downtown Strong campaign is kicking off Saturday with local food and artists showcased. The campaign is from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, May 30th in downtown San Angelo. Our local economy is one of the strongest characteristics of downtown San Angelo, according to the event's Facebook. These businesses have been greatly affected by the impact of COVID-19 within our community, and most have been unable to operate at full capacity. Downtown San Angelo Incorporated is partnering with members of the community, including downtown businesses, restaurants, car clubs, musical artists, local organizations, and more, to bring downtown back to life. The community is invited to join us in a celebration of overcoming trying times and once again support local businesses, the post stated. With your participation, San Angelo can show that we are downtown strong. Various car clubs are invited to join in between the hours of 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Parking will be available at the Railway Museum of San Angelo, 703 North South Chadburn Street. Local musicians also will be performing for tips from 3 to 6 p.m. at the following locations: West Texas Funk at Old Central Firehouse, Pizzeria, and Tap Room, 200 South Magdalen. Kevin Collins and Angel Noriega at The Grind Brew and Cafe, 220A North Chadburn. Gustavo Rodriguez at Vita Hair Studio, 220 North Chadburn. Mike Rauch at Backbeat Music Company, 130 South Oaks. Billy Dan Langley at Heritage Park, 36 East Twig. Charles Reyes at the historic Seeley House, 204 South Oaks. Patrick Vinay at Janelle Ray Boutique, 113 East Concho. Chris Coleman and Dave Segoviano at Legend Jewelers, 18 East Concho, Suite 130. Aaron Heflin and Nathan Lopez at Ree's Studio and Gallery, 76 North Chadburn. Manny Campos at Miss Hattie's Restaurant, 26 East Concho. Michael Martin at the House of Fifi Dubois, 123 South Chadburn. Dedra and Sam Knox at Twisted Root Burger Company, 333 South Chadburn. Kevin Brown at Fuentes Cafe Downtown, 101 South Chadburn. Kristen Sorrells at AR Beauty Bar, 10 East Concho. Rather Rhodes at Bricks Winery, 113 East Concho. Indictment. San Angelo man threatened girlfriend and two others with gun after argument, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been indicted after three people, one of whom was the mother to his children, were threatened with a gun, according to court documents. On February 3, 2020, San Angelo police responded to a report of aggravated assault. A man told officers he and his sister's boyfriend had an argument. The boyfriend showed a black handgun and made threats during the argument, according to an arrest affidavit. A woman told officers that she and her boyfriend, the father of her two children, had a physical altercation. The man produced a gun and threatened her during the fight, according to the affidavit. Michael Bradley Leach, 20, was arrested February 3rd on suspicion of assault of a family member, impeding circulation, aggravated assault on date with a weapon, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, resisting arrest, search, transport, and unlawful possession of a firearm by a felon. Leach was released on a $90,500 bond February 27th, according to online jail records. An indictment filed May 12th charged Leach with two counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and one count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon against a family member. The indictment included a third person who was threatened with a gun, according to court documents. Each charge is a second-degree felony, punishable by up to 10 years in jail, and a fine not to exceed $20,000. A court date has been tentatively set for 2 p.m. July 7th at the 119th District Court, according to online records. Affidavit. San Angelo man attempted to bribe child with candy during sexual assault, by Rosanna Aguilera. The Tom Green County Sheriff's Office arrested a 17-year-old accused of indecency with a child under 14 years old and kidnapping, according to a news release. About 8 p.m., Sunday, May 25th, Sheriff's Office deputies were dispatched to the 4,000 block of St. Anthony in reference to a report of a possible sexual assault of a child. Deputies arrived and learned that a female under the age of 14 years, without her consent, had been abducted and taken to a secluded location during the commission of the offense of indecency with a child by contact, according to the release. The suspect admitted to investigators that he touched the child and that he asked the child to touch him, but was refused. The defendant stated he attempted to pay the child with money and a bribe of candy, according to arrest records. Cameron James Simmons was arrested on suspicion of indecency with a child and sexual contact and aggravated kidnapping. He remained in Tom Green County Jail on Thursday afternoon with bond set at $50,000. This case is still an active investigation, according to the release. Whataburger Favorites Delivered Directly to Your Doorstep by Aaron A. Bedoya. Whataburger delivery? Yes, you read that right. The Texas-based fast food chain can now be delivered to your front door. The delivery option is available to select as a pickup method when you order through the Whataburger app or at whataburger.com. Locations continue to offer curbside pickup and drive-thru as options. Just Between Friends sale rescheduled for new dates in June 2020. By Rosanna Aguilera. The Just Between Friends sale was postponed in March due to COVID-19, but now has a new date. The sale is scheduled for 5 days in June, with items selling from 50 to 90% off retail price at Foster Communications Coliseum, 50 East 43rd Street. Bonnie Bauer, event coordinator, said the organization strives to step in for families who are in need of new clothes and selling others. Kids grow so fast that they don't get to wear these clothes and get the full use out of them, Bauer said. We provide a marketplace where they can make money by selling clothes and also buy what they need. This is Bauer's third year being the coordinator of the event. I love giving back to the community, she said. This is more a labor of love than anything for me. Bauer said that they were able to donate items to Rust Street Ministries when the sale is over, if the seller is willing. We are able to further give back to our community and even further out, she said. Rust Street is able to send stuff anywhere it is needed. Items being sold. Spring and summer clothes, newborn to size 20. Baby gear and equipment. Outdoor and indoor toys and games. Books. Feeding and bathing items. Bedding and bags. Room decor and child furniture, sports equipment, electronics, maternity items, strollers, and more. Over 400 families are expected to participate in selling their gently used items. Bauer said they have a strict standard when selling clothes. They must be current, clean, complete, and not have excessive wear. Sales schedule and admission costs. General admission is $3 cash at the door. You can also get tickets for free admission that is good for all general admission days. Children are free admission and must be accompanied by an adult. Pre-sale, 8 to 10 p.m. Tuesday, June 9th. $10 admission and pass are required. For more information on the pre-sale, visit sanangelo.jbfsale.com. Opening day, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Wednesday, June 10th, $10 adult admission. General admission, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Thursday, June 11th. General admission, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Friday, June 12th. Half price day, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, June 13th, $1 general admission. Tickets can be bought online at Eventbrite, Eventbrite. All March event tickets and coupons will be honored. Door-to-door salespeople must have city permit. Here's what it looks like. By Rosanna Aguilera. People who are doing door-to-door sales work must have a license from the City of San Angelo, specifically from the San Angelo Police Department, according to a news release. This permit must be visible on their person, according to the release. If you do not see the permit, then ask for it and request that you see it. Do not simply take their word that they have one. They cannot go door to door if they do not have a permit from the San Angelo Police Department. A photo example of the permit is available at sanangelopolice.org/door-to-door-sales, so residents know what to look for. Citizens are not required to open their doors, the release stated, If you aren't comfortable answering the door, then please don't open the door. Due to recent storms, citizens may see an influx of people going door-to-door for home repair businesses, according to the release. These types of businesses must have a permit from the police department and must register and have a permit from our building permits and inspection office. While there are no health restrictions in place, requiring door-to-door salespeople to wear masks or gloves, the police department said residents should not be afraid to reject unwanted salespeople. Don't be afraid to offend someone by not doing business with them. Your home is your castle, the police department posted on its Facebook page. A permit also doesn't give salespeople permission to use strong arm or pushy tactics, police said. If you are interested in hearing a sales pitch, by all means listen. If not, do not be afraid or intimidated to ask them to leave your property and as a rule of safety, the police department notes. If a salesperson enters your home or property uninvited and refuses to leave, call 911. The San Angelo Police Department can revoke itinerant merchant permits if members of the public report ill behavior. We will not tolerate pushy, strong-armed sales tactics or behavior that is intimidating or threatening. Please call us if you have a bad experience so we can immediately address the issue. For non-emergencies, call 325-657-4315. For more information, contact the city's permit office at 325-657-4210, option 1, or email sapermits@cosatx.us. There is a photo of an example of a sales permit accompanying this story, which I'm going to describe. The top quarter of the permit is in green. It reads City of San Angelo Sales Permit. The lower two-thirds of the permit is a white background. It has a name at the top of the white space. Below that is an address. Below that is their date of birth and driver's license number. It then gives an expiration date. At the bottom left, it has the City of San Angelo logo. And at the bottom right is a photograph of the individual. Indictment. San Angelo mother drove while intoxicated with children ages 3 and 1 in back seat. By Elena Edgen. A San Angelo mother has been indicted after a state trooper conducted a traffic stop on a speeding vehicle and smelled alcohol, according to court documents. On March 11, 2020, a Department of Public Safety trooper noticed a vehicle driving 59 miles per hour in a 35 miles per hour zone. The vehicle did not yield to the trooper's siren and drove to their residence before stopping, records state. The trooper met with the driver, a 33-year-old woman, and could smell alcohol. The woman seemed confused, had trouble answering questions, and failed a field sobriety test, according to the affidavit. Two children, ages 3 and 1 at the time, were in the rear passenger seat during the traffic stop, records state. Marina Renee Conklin, also known as Marina Butts and Marina Ramos, was arrested March 12th on suspicion of driving while intoxicated with a child younger than 15 years old. She was released from Tom Green County Jail later that day on a $10,000 bond with a condition of no driving, according to online jail records. The indictment, filed May 12th, charged her with driving while intoxicated with a child younger than 15 years old. This is a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. Sports complex now open in San Angelo, offering batting cages, mini golf, and driving range. By Rosanna Aguilera. The Sports Next Level Complex is now open and offering batting cages, mini golf, driving range, and more. The complex at 2838 College Hills Boulevard is open 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Sunday. The facility covers over 21 acres with an array of sports facilities along with a restaurant and bar. Included is a 300-yard driving range, 18-hole mini golf, indoor soccer training facility, 10 batting cages, hit tracks simulator that does fastballs up to 90 miles per hour, and a fungo man does speeds up to 70 miles per hour, including fast and slow pitch softball. Online registration is available for contactless check-in and out. During summer 2020, the facility will complete the next level gym that will host a full-size basketball and volleyball court, along with cheerleading camps and other activities. There are also private lessons available for strength and conditioning, football and soccer training, as well as speed and agility training. According to a Facebook post, trainers are experienced in all ages and skill levels. Parents, if you are looking for quality one-on-one training for your athlete, look no further, the Facebook post stated. Next Level Training has options for every age and skill level. We welcome anyone and everyone looking to improve their game or just to have some fun. You can now start scheduling your personal sessions by registering online at www.sportsnextlevel.com/schedule-a-lesson or call 325-277-0928. The Next Level Grill is open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Monday through Sunday, offering burgers, quesadillas, tacos, sandwiches, wraps, kids' meals, and more. The grill has a selection of beer and wine with happy hour from 2 to 5 p.m. Affidavit. San Angelo man who hit child with car smoked marijuana minutes before crash, by Elena Edgen. An arrest affidavit has revealed details on what happened before a car struck a 7-year-old boy in San Angelo on May 20th, which left the child with bleeding in the brain, according to court documents. Just after 5 p.m. May 20th, police responded to a report of a child cyclist vehicle collision at West Avenue Inn and College Hills Boulevard. Officers found the boy lying in the road with major injuries to his face, arms, and legs, according to the affidavit. An investigation revealed a man was driving a white 2009 Chevrolet Suburban northbound in the 1800 block of College Hills Boulevard when he collided with the 7-year-old boy riding a bicycle, records state. Shannon Medical Center staff told officers the boy had multiple skull fractures, a brain bleed, and could possibly have some vision loss in his left eye due to injuries. Staff performed surgery, then had him airlifted to Dell Children's Medical Hospital in Austin, according to the affidavit. During the investigation, an officer approached the Chevrolet, which had a very strong odor of marijuana, and found the driver and a passenger, both 25. Officers found a marijuana cigarette in the driver's pocket, less than an ounce of marijuana, and a yellow grinder under the passenger seat, records state. The passenger told officers the men had gone to an apartment before the crash so he could get a change of clothes and marijuana. After leaving the apartment, the passenger hollowed out a cigarette, put marijuana in it, and the pair smoked while riding in the vehicle, according to the arrest affidavit. The driver, identified by police as Jesus Martinez, told officers he had smoked marijuana, records state. He was arrested that day on suspicion of intoxication assault resulting in serious bodily injury and released from Tom Green County Jail on a $15,000 bond on May 21st. According to online jail records. Devontae Carson, the passenger, was arrested on suspicion of possession of marijuana and drug paraphernalia May 20th. He was released from Tom Green County Jail an hour after his arrest on a $1,662 bond, according to online jail records. San Angelo woman indicted after school counselor reports 7-year-old child's black eye, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo woman has been indicted after a 7-year-old reported to a school counselor that their black eye came from a belt, according to court documents. Around mid-February, San Angelo police received a report of possible child abuse from Child Protective Services. The report stated a child had been hit in the face with a belt, which left the child with a black eye, records state. An investigator met with the child's school counselor, who stated the child reported that a woman hit them in the face with a belt in February, which caused the black eye. The child told investigators the woman's strike caused their eye to feel like it was bleeding and it really hurt, according to an arrest affidavit. A witness stated that on February 16th, the woman spanked the child with a belt and accidentally hit the child's eye. The woman reportedly told investigators she used a belt to spank the child and struck the child's left eye, according to the affidavit. Investigators noticed bruising above and below the child's eye. Chantel Nicole Garland, 32, was arrested by Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputies April 17th on suspicion of reckless bodily injury to a child. She was released on a $3,000 bond that day, according to online jail records. A May 12th indictment accuses Garland of reckless bodily injury to a child for causing the black eye in February. She has also been charged with hitting the child on January 6th, resulting in a second indicted charge of injury to a child. The reckless charge is a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail. The January charge is a third-degree felony punishable by up to 10 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. San Antonio man indicted in connection to San Angelo Walmart theft with employee vests, by Elena Edgen. Update. A San Antonio man has been indicted after he and another man were seen on video stealing from a San Angelo Walmart disguised as employees, records state. An indictment filed May 12th charged John Taylor Fest, 30, with burglary of a building on April 20th. This is a state jail felony punishable by up to 2 years in jail and a fine up to $10,000. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of a $7,500 bond as of 4:15 p.m. Monday, May 25th, according to online jail records. Indictment. San Angelo woman charged car at Walmart employees and boyfriend, by Elena Edgen. Update. A San Angelo woman has been indicted on 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after her boyfriend and 2 Walmart employees were nearly hit with a car, according to court documents. An indictment filed May 12th charged Alexis Ryan Grafton, 20, with 3 counts of aggravated assault. Each charge is a second-degree felony punishable by up to 2 to 20 years in jail and a fine not to exceed $10,000. She was released from Tom Green County Jail April 18th on a $90,000 bond, according to online jail records. A court date has been tentatively set for 2 p.m. July 7th in the 391st District Court, according to online court records. San Angelo man indicted after woman makes third report of abuse, by Elena Edgen. Update. A San Angelo man has been indicted after his girlfriend made a third report of abuse, which left marks on her neck, records state. An indictment filed May 12th charged Ty Pearson, Mowry, 24, with continuous violence against family, a third-degree felony punishable by a fine not to exceed $10,000 and 2 to 10 years in prison. He was released from Tom Green County Jail on December 17th, 3 days after his arrest, on a $10,000 bond with a condition of no contact with the woman, according to online jail records. A court date has not been set as of 5 p.m. Monday, May 25th, according to online court records. Indictment. Arizona man involved in hit-and-run wreck found at downtown restaurant, by Rosanna Aguilera. Update. An Arizona man has been indicted after a woman had injuries to her leg and wrist from a hit-and-run vehicle collision February 9th, according to an indictment. San Angelo police asked the public for help February 11th to find the man, and 45 minutes later, a tip led to the arrest at the Angry Cactus. The man reportedly told the pickup's owner that someone had backed into it. He told police the woman's SUV pulled out in front of him and he hit her, according to an arrest affidavit. He then left because he was scared, records state. The woman had a possibly broken wrist, tendon damage, and a large cut on her leg, according to the arrest affidavit. Police arrested Carlos Antonio Perez, 23, of Yuma, Arizona, on suspicion of accident involving injury on February 11th. He was released from Tom Green County Jail on a $25,000 bond the following day, according to online jail records. An indictment filed May 12th charged Perez with accident involving injury. A court date has not been set as of 4 p.m. Monday, May 25th, according to online court records. Indictment. San Angelo man, 66, found with counterfeit $20 bills printed upside down, by Elena Edgen. Update. A San Angelo man has been indicted after police found him in possession of fake $20 bills, some of which were partially printed upside down, records state. An indictment filed May 12th charged Randall Allen Dupree, 66, with forgery of money. He was released from Tom Green County Jail February 24th on a $7,500 bond 2 days after his arrest, according to online jail records. Indictment. San Angelo man kicked off bus, made bomb threat to 911, by Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been indicted after 911 received a call that there were bombs in two Concho Valley transit buses, according to court documents. Around 8 p.m. February 17th, a man who sounded intoxicated called 911 and stated there were bombs in two Concho Valley transit buses. The man also said he was at the bus stop, records state. This brought San Angelo police and Tom Green County Sheriff's deputies to the Concho Valley Transit District, 510 North Chadburn Street. Upon arrival, they discovered an intoxicated man outside the bus station, records state. The man's voice matched the caller's, and video from CVTD showed the man on the phone during the time of the call. A CVTD employee told law enforcement the man had been kicked off a bus due to his intoxicated state, according to the affidavit. Police and deputies arrested Hector Hernandez Cadena February 17th on suspicion of terrorist threat impede public service, public intoxication, and four warrants. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of an $11,466 bond as of 2:45 p.m. Monday, May 25th, according to online jail records. An indictment filed May 12th charged Cadena with terroristic threat. This is a third-degree felony punishable by 2 to 10 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively set for 2 p.m. July 7th in the 391st District Court. San Angelo in plein air alters event, continues competition through COVID-19. By Elena Edgen. Around June 2nd every year, San Angelo's In Plain Air hosts the Envelope Please, an event announcing the competitors of In Plain Air, Texas. Due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, The organization has looked to new routes on how this year's event and competition will happen. The Envelope Please will go virtual this year at 6:30 p.m. June 2nd and can be viewed through the InPlainAirTexas.com, Facebook, and Instagram pages. The artists announced during this will be invited to compete in Plain Air, Texas in October in San Angelo. Sadly, because of the coronavirus this year, we will not have our black tie Oscars-like night at the museum, said Barbara Rollo, coordinator co-chair for In Plain Air, Texas, in an email. The excitement is the same, and we invite to share the evening from home, perhaps with a glass of wine or even champagne. The organization is currently planning in-person events for October, but is also planning for other scenarios. The organization is also looking for artist host homes and sponsors. Indictment. San Angelo man, 74, took computer to be fixed. Employee finds child porn. By Elena Edgen. A San Angelo man has been indicted after a computer repair employee discovered child pornography on the man's computer, according to court documents. On February 19, 2020, a San Angelo police officer responded to Best Buy, 4325 Sunset Drive, to a report of explicit images on a customer's computer. The officer noticed several images of naked boys and took the computer as evidence, according to the affidavit. A Tom Green County Sheriff's Office deputy met with the 74-year-old man, who stated that he took the computer in for repairs. He also reportedly admitted to possessing child pornography, according to the affidavit. During the investigation, a crime analyst discovered seven images of child pornography on the computer's hard drive. The boys in the images ranged from ages 13 to 14 years old, records state. Deputies arrested Lynn Albert Rochester, 74, March 13th on suspicion of seven counts of possession of child pornography. He remained in Tom Green County Jail in lieu of an $80,000 bond as of May 25th at 10:45 a.m. An indictment filed May 12th charged Rochester with one count of possession of child pornography. This is a third-degree felony punishable between 2 to 10 years in prison and a fine not to exceed $10,000. A court date has been tentatively set for 2 p.m. July 7th in the 51st District Court, according to online jail records. Allen's Transport, looking to hire 10 in San Angelo, builds state-of-the-art industrial terminal, by Elena Edgen. A Canadian-based oil field company is building a state-of-the-art location in San Angelo and looking to hire 10 people, according to a San Angelo Chamber of Commerce news release. Allen's Transport, based in Western Canada, began working with the city 2 years ago to create a location in the San Angelo Business and Industrial Park. The facility is a 25,000-square-feet multi-building terminal which will hold heavy-haul truck bays, offices, maintenance areas, and materials storage, according to the release. Allen's Transport is the type of high-quality, sustainable development that we like to see, said Guy Andrews, director of the City of San Angelo Development Corporation. I anticipate that with the current expansion of the business and industrial park, that we will see many more developments like Allen's Transport moving to San Angelo. They are definitely pace setters in our post-COVID-19 economy. The transportation company consists of oil field, petrochemical, mining, pulp and paper, industrial, refinery, and generator stations. It is looking to hire 10 people with plans to hire another 10 in the future, according to the release. Get more information about job opportunities online at allens-transport-ca/index.php/careers. Thank you for joining us for the reading of the San Angelo Standard-Times. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.